Hello and welcome to Dairy Pod. I'm Kristen Davis from Dairy Australia. In this episode, West Vic Dairy Extension Advisor Debbie Twiss is joined by South West Victorian dairy farmers Victoria Burley and Luke Davison. The couple share their experiences using genomic testing data as part of their herd management strategies. They also give a practical insight into the use of genomic data in making informed breeding decisions that support business profitability.
Before we dive into the topic, can you please tell us about yourselves and how you began in the dairy industry?
We are Victoria Burley and Luke Davison, dairy farming at Nullawarra in southwest Victoria. Here we milk 330 Holstein cows on about 340 hectares. I grew up on a dairy farm at Nullawarra, very close by, and Luke on a sheep farm near Timboo. We both had professional careers before entering the industry, myself in teaching and Luke in agronomy. Luke worked at Grass Growers in Terang for 7 years before we decided to take the leap of faith into dairying. It was a car accident that happened early in 2018 that saw us enter the industry and, I guess put both of our feet in and see where we would land.
How's that been for you, Luke, making the jump from an agronomist to a dairy farmer?
It's been a very big jump, it has. We've been very fortunate to have a wide network of people that supported us, encouraged us, and good industry people to use as sounding boards for different ideas that we've had along this journey. In this share farming journey that we are on the farm that we are at the moment for Bill Dunstey.
How did you come to be here on this farm and what were the things you needed to learn? You have a vast background behind you of agronomy. What were the other parts of your learning you felt you needed to round out when you came into dairy?
During my time as an agronomist, Vic and I probably always had the conversation and thought that maybe one day going back to a farm or that farm ownership, that goal, that dream was something that we'd like to pursue further. During being an agronomist, we leased my parents' beef and sheep property where we had some beef cows there as sort of a little side hobby to play with. And I used to, any sort of new things, technologies, whether that was new grass varieties or fertilizer products, I would always play around and trial that there. So I was able to learn behind closed doors, and if there was a mistake or no one got to know,
nice,
before that I could go and talk with farmers. Notably the fodder beets was something that I took a great interest in. While spending the grass, but played around with them before that on our own place. Along the journey, I suppose the grass and the fertilizer aspects, which I had built that up, those skill set, being an agronomist, after our car accident, and we sort of had an opportunity to go to a large farm, we sort of both looked at it and thought, well, this is probably a great opportunity to learn from the cow health side of things, the animal health, welfare, all that sort of stuff, which we were very fortunate to do. We worked there for well over 12 months and learned a lot, and probably learned a lot more than we thought we were going to. So being such a large scale property, people were a big part of that, a big team. Majority were backpackers. So the day-to-day running of dealing with people and sort of delegating, those sort of things. So for me personally, I did learn a lot from that experience and that opportunity. So
thanks, Victoria and Luke, for giving us that insight of how you've come to build up a wealth of information about the operations of a dairy farm day-to-day, and getting that extra background knowledge around cow health. And around the fertility, what it takes. Today we're going to be talking and looking into how you're using heifer genomics in your dairy farm business. Genomic testing, which has been used in Australian dairy herds since 2011, analyses an animal's DNA from a sample such as an ear notch or tail hair to predict its future performance with the Australian breeding values for traits such as daughter fertility, survival and feed saved. The reliability of genomic breeding values is the equivalent of having 7 lactations of data, more than double those based on pedigree alone. How have you guys used genomics in the management of your heifer mob? That's what we'd like to dig into today. Can you give us a start with just describing for us what your approach has been to your herd breeding management?
So the first year we arrived here, we arrived in September, I believe it was. We already had the drop of heifers, and there's 65 to 70 replacement heifers there to come in the next 18 months' time. And it was sort of the end of the season. There was quite a few empty cows that we sort of had done the assessment on the size of the farm, how many cows when we started, there's 283 milkers in the herd. We felt that the farm could be pushed a little bit harder, so we sort of set our sights to 308. So just working 22 aside, swing over. So we thought, well, another couple of rows, and just to see how milk production would go from there.
And what were the cows producing at that time when you started? Can you remember?
We are very lucky that we did inherit a excellent herd from a genetic base. Bill, when he was farming himself, was very meticulous in his breeding selection, bullseye, like AI, continual use of AI throughout his time. The previous share farmers have done a fabulous job with the herd as well, so he continued on that those breeding things. So what we did notice, there was some of the younger cows were quite tall, very dairy, and that had a direct correlation with infertility and sort of they're not getting back into calf. So
an emphasis on production rather than production and fertility.
That's right.
That's the balance, which is where many herds were
at that time. Exactly. Yep. That's exactly right. So
yeah.
So that particular year we did a short spring carving group just to bump our numbers up for the following year. And that was just with Jersey Bulls that we had at the time. Mm-hmm. Sex semen was probably introduced to us at the previous farm we worked at, and that was mainly just on heifers, just to get numbers. Mm-hmm. And everything was kept, all heifers were kept to build numbers. They were in a very...
growth phase?
Huge growth phase at the time they were. So we had been exposed to the sex semen along the way. And our first autumn, we used sex semen on our heifer with a heifer program, and that went pretty well. I think it was about 67% in calf rate.
How long were you doing sex semen AI?
So with the heifers, we did a double program. Again, that mindset of trying to get more replacement heifers to supplement and top up numbers for future, basically it was. So, and then a conventional program and a cow. So working closely with our vet and our AI tech, we tailored the programs there to maximize a nice big group of cows and the heifers. The first two years of the heifer programs, we did a double program, until we got to a point where we started getting enough replacement heifers that we could go back to just a single. So this last year was our first year of, we just did a single program with the heifers, and then we also introduced a small program with, from a visual aspect, the young cows, young heifers, and some of the good producing cows, a sex program with them. So got some fabulous results.
So you've been really focused on getting the best out of the sex semen and a good carving pattern. It's a pretty conventional approach. But what initiated your interest in going down the path of using the tool of genomic testing to augment your breeding management?
I've listened a lot to podcasts, and on the Dairy Pod, I was listening to one about genomics and the use of it in an operation in South Australia. And often it's little bits and pieces that you put together that make a big picture. And you, between Luke and I, we go to a lot of field days and things, and so we come home and discuss how that could or couldn't work in our operation. And I mentioned it to Luke as something that we could explore further. And it took a little while for everybody to be on the same page and how it would work and what its use would be. So that was about 3.5 years ago, I think, since we started that conversation. And now there's more heptas here than we can handle.
I think it's a bit of a natural progression as well. Like I stated earlier, the first year or 2 years we're here, we just had to keep what heifers we had. We were at 65, 70, then we got to 100. So we never had enough of replacements to, we just had to rear everything and breed everything. So through the sets program or programs, we've got to a position where we have a large group of heifer calves. So it's probably that now, yeah, like Victoria just said, it's a natural progression of then, righto, what else can we do to better this? So we've...
And so now you're doing the genomic testing, data around these animals. So how are you now using that data? As Victoria alluded to, you've got more heifers than you can handle, but actually you are handling them using data. How's that working?
So, yeah, this last calving, we had 170 heifer calves that we genomic tested. Talking with a farm owner and the bull semen advisor, we sort of looked at setting those benchmarks within the BPI range of, right, keeping the best, how many heifers you need to keep and replace, and sort of working backwards from there. So keeping your top 120 calves, work back from there. So
really going focus on that balanced performance index.
That's what we had
to get both production and fertility into your herd.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and probably on a little bit more of a flip side of that, we've sort of changed focus with now the bulls. As I said, the first year we're here, we noticed a lot of taller cows, which naturally weeded themselves out of the herd because they weren't getting any calf. Good production, good milkers. You feed them right, they'll milk. But our key thing is they never got pregnant again. So they disappeared out of the system very quickly, naturally anyway. So the genomics has really now stepped up to identifying high BPI calves and us retaining those to bring into the herd. As I alluded to before, this year was our first year of our first lot of BPI tested calves have now entered the milking herd as heifers.
And so these have to be all above a minimum of 250?
These are all above the 250 range, so they are, yes.
You've been able to use that data to drop the bottom end out of your herd.
Yes.
And sell them off.
Export. So we've been very lucky as everyone with the China export. Even last year we fluked on the last 40 calves onto the boat, so some way or another, I'm not too sure how, but...
So there was these opportunities when they exist.
That's exactly right.
Mm. So you're using sex semen to provide surplus replacements, and that gives you the option of doing things like selecting on the genetic merit and dropping those into that don't make the grade into other pathways. Your conception rate to sex semen is 78%. What do you think are the key factors to achieving such a good conception rate of 78%?
I don't think it's a singular thing. I think it's the whole approach. So good colostrum management from the start, nutrition throughout their lifetime of like puberty up until the point of joining, attention to detail with feeding, nutrition, all those things go into it. And it doesn't just stop there after the joining phase. Like it's continual feeding up there. Yeah, they're going to reach their potential. So you put so much money and time and effort into them at such a young age.
You're really monitoring them right from birth through to their weaning and then from weaning through to joining.
That's right.
We do weigh weigh the calves monthly up until joint. Well, we weigh them at joining.
Yes, just before joining.
Do tailor their feed to that.
And what body weight are you hoping to get to when you get to joining? Yeah, and that would be around about 60% of their mature adult weight at joining, roughly.
Yes.
Roughly.
Yep.
Because you're going for that smaller stature
of
cow for this farm.
That's right. Yep. Mm.
So as the percentage of your herd becomes as a greater percentage of your herd becomes genomically tested, how might the data from genomic testing be used to inform future business decisions?
Definitely the bull selection decision making. So I think probably another aspect to getting such a good result is with the selecting the bulls with high semen fertility. That's sort of something through conversations with our vet, other farmers, they've sort of indicated that the high semen fertility of the bull has indicated that they've got really good results, conception rates and results.
Combining that with a good BPI
to get a good performance. Yep. Selecting that. So the other aspect and tool is sort of culling sort of the older cows or lower fertility cows to try and get an overall even herd, if that makes sense. So we're able to identify now with the cows that don't fit into that tight carbon group will be either joined to AI'd to beef just because they're not going to be a part of the system. They aren't. So I think naturally in time, then there'll be a natural increase anyway in the BPI across that core nucleus group of cows going forward too.
As a greater percentage of your herd becomes genomically tested, how might the data from genomic testing be used to inform future breeding decisions for your herd?
Well, I think for future, it's probably, we don't really want to go down the individualized cow breeding sort of selection, but I think as we get a larger percentage, or if not the whole herd, BPI tested by the time.
And each cow needs that one test.
And each one test, exactly right. Mm-hmm. Then we could start to really fine-tune the system. So we're joining AI for 6 weeks. If there's a lower BPI cow within that group, then from a business decision, well, let's not put her to AI.
To sex semen.
To sex semen, yeah. Sorry. Let's put her to beef.
Yeah.
Tailor that scenario of she's still a good cow, but there's higher ones within the herd that
you want to keep the replacements.
We'll spend
from them.
Our money on to really get the better replacements out of those higher BPI cows going forward for the future.
So it's pretty important to you guys keeping that calving pattern pretty tight. And there is some advantages having that sex semen and replacement mob coming from the first 3 weeks. I think you mentioned that, Victoria, when we were talking earlier.
Yeah. So we do like having even groups. And there is a big difference between a calf in week one versus week four. So keeping them even is important. And like I said before, with our heifer management going through, we do keep a very close eye on them, how they're tracking and accordingly how we feed them.
That will go on to help the next generation being fertile when they're being well fed and all reaching their target weight for the date of joining when you're hurt. So nearly 4 years on from that initial dairy industry podcast that you listened to, Victoria, how has genomics assisted your journey towards your end goal? What are you guys aiming for? What's the big picture?
Big picture is dairy farm ownership, or perhaps beef farm ownership. So we were fortunate to purchase a small property a couple of years ago. So that was sort of one of the steps. I guess we're always looking for our next opportunity. We often get approached with different ideas, but it's always about finding what works for everybody. We are very fortunate to be where we are.
Nearly 5 years on from entering the dairy industry, what's the end goal?
For us, it's about either dairy farm or beef farm ownership. We are very fortunate to have purchased a property a couple of years ago, a small farm at Narendra, where we run our beef cows separate to this operation. But we are always looking for the next opportunity in the dairy industry and I guess consolidating what we do know and have learned over this journey. We have explored investors. We've had local farmers come and have some discussions with us, but we are at a stage here where our business is outgrowing the infrastructure. And so for us to keep progressing, we are actively looking for, another farm or another opportunity to pursue.
Thank you, Victoria and Luke, for your time today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you both, and we appreciate the practical insights into the use of genomic data and making informed breeding decisions that are supporting the profitability of your dairy business ventures and where you're looking to grow next and use the base that you've gained in knowledge and experience to leverage your journey further into property ownership, be that into dairy or into beef. So thank you for taking the time to share that with us.
Thank you for having us, Debbie. I think I've spent a lot of time listening to this podcast and have found it really valuable. And I hope if someone takes just one thing from us, then it will be well and truly worth it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
To find out more about heifer genomics and genomic testing, visit dairyaustralia.com.au and head to the animals section. We have placed this and other relevant links in the episode notes. If you have any questions or ideas for future DairyPod episodes, you can get in contact with us by emailing dairypod@dairyaustralia.com.au. Thank you for listening.